Of all the ways in which SaaS changes an ISV's business, none is more important than what it does to the sales process. To be successful with SaaS, every established ISV needs to confront these changes. Here's one way to think about it. Whatever you're selling, the sales process starts when the customer is introduced to the product. After this, your sales team might explain the product and give demos, doing their best to show how it meets the customer's needs. The customer now has an initial perception of the product's value. This is typically where a buying decision gets made for an on-premises application. The customer hasn't had much chance to get hands-on experience with the product in real business scenarios, and so perceived value is all he or she has to go on. Compare this with the process of buying a SaaS application. Virtually all SaaS vendors provide a try-before-you-buy option, and some offer free use of the complete product for months. Since you don't have to install the software, doing this kind of trial can be much simpler for customers than it would be with traditional on-premises software. And after they've done this trial, the customer has significant hands-on experience with the product. He understands its real value. This is when the buying decision is made for a SaaS application. Rather than making a leap of faith based solely on perceived value, the customer can be much more confident about the benefits this product will bring. Not surprisingly, customers like this approach. It lowers their risk of making a bad decision. With SaaS, it's common to start by selling just a few seats, with the customer paying per user per month. This has drawbacks for the ISV. You don't get much money up front. But it also has real benefits. A small initial sale means a relatively low price, which minimizes the need for drawn-out evaluations of return on investment. This means that less senior people in an organization can make the decision to buy a SaaS application. Even though the diagram I just showed might suggest that SaaS has a longer sales cycle, its lower initial price and simpler ROI justification can help shorten this process. And once the initial sale is made, a SaaS application that has value will inevitably acquire more users within this organization. This approach is sometimes called land and expand, and it's become common among SaaS vendors. But SaaS not only changes how customers buy applications, it also changes how organizations that sell applications compensate their sales force. With on-premises software, a traditional license sale brings in a good-sized chunk of revenue immediately. And so you can pay a substantial part of this as a sales commission. Selling a subscription to a SaaS application doesn't have the same characteristics. Getting 10 users and a new customer to buy subscriptions at, say, $10 per user per month doesn't generate the same immediate revenue. This sale might well be the foundation for substantial long-term revenue. Remember, land and expand. But the initial income isn't big. How should you compensate the people who make this sale? There's no one right answer. Here are some options. The seller might be paid a commission immediately based on the total expected revenue for the first year. This can help motivate sellers, but there's some risk. The customer might cancel early, and it also eats up a SaaS business's scarce capital. Giving customers a discount for paying a year in advance can help make this a better option, because the revenue the commission is based on comes in right away. Alternatively, an ISV might pay monthly commissions based only on the actual subscription revenue it receives. After the first year, the seller might be paid a smaller amount for each month that this customer renews. This approach might not generate enough money to motivate a field sales force. So an ISV might need to lower its cost of sales for SaaS applications. You can move to inside sales, for instance, with sellers on the phone rather than meeting customers in person. A third option is that an ISV might only sell large chunks of product usage, then pay standard commissions. In this approach, the SaaS application still has usage-based pricing, but customers can only buy big amounts of usage at a time. This brings in more upfront revenue. It's really not far from buying a traditional license. And so an ISV can pay commissions in the usual way. Typical SaaS pricing also implies another important change in how you and your sales force should think about your business. Both sellers and their customers have been conditioned to view the fourth quarter of an ISV's fiscal year as the most important. It's when the sellers need to make their number for the year. But with a subscription-based SaaS business, the fourth quarter is no longer as critical. Instead, the first quarter becomes the most important for sales. Think about it. A sale in the first quarter brings in revenue all year, while a fourth quarter sale brings in revenue for only a small part of that year. Because of this, first quarter sales contribute much more to annual revenues. It's worth thinking about how your commission structure can incent first quarter sales, because a SaaS business can't rely on a great fourth quarter to save the entire year. One last point to keep in mind is that the move to SaaS changes how an ISV works with partners. Distributors, resellers, and integrators can all play an important role with on-premises software. They might sell your product, for example, or offer services like installation or customization or ongoing management. Like any business, your partners do these things because it benefits them. They make money by working with you. But SaaS changes all of these. Here's how. First, subscription pricing generates less revenue to share, at least initially. Just as typical SaaS pricing can make it harder to motivate your own sales force, it can also make it harder to keep partners interested in your product. Their incentive to help you shrinks significantly. Second, SaaS applications don't need many of the traditional services that partners provide. For example, a SaaS application runs in the cloud, and so no installation is required. The need for ongoing management also declines, since most of this work is done by you, the SaaS provider. A partner that's built a business around providing these services for your customers will see this business decrease. Also, while SaaS applications commonly allow some configuration, SaaS customization is usually limited. Any partners you have that make money by customizing your on-premises application will see this business shrink with SaaS. The bottom line is clear. Because SaaS commonly decreases the money that your partners can make by working with you, it shrinks their incentive to help you sell. This means that ISVs should expect to bear the majority of the SaaS sales burden themselves. While you might be able to find new partners to work with that are set up to survive in the quite different world of SaaS, you should expect changes in how you work with your current partners. Adopting SaaS changes so many things about the sales process. It changes what customers know when they make a buying decision. It changes how you compensate your sales force, and it changes how you work with partners. Adapting to these changes isn't especially easy, but there's no way to avoid them. Getting all of this right is essential to being successful with SaaS.